Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from Numbers chapter 14, verses 18 to 29, and we're speaking once again about the Israelites going out of Egypt into Canaan and the journey there. We seem to be labouring on this, but it's the most important message that comes, I feel, that comes out of the Old Testament, speaking about us today and our Christian walk. We mirror the walk of the Israelites as we come out of the slavery of sin, as we head towards God's rest. And that's why it's so essential that we understand the scriptures, that we follow Jesus, be obedient to Jesus all of the way. Thank you, Jeff. As Jeff comes up, this is for all people, but not many will enter God's rest. And this is the case today, because the Israelites refused to go into Canaan. God threatened to wipe them out. And Moses intercedes and pleads for mercy for his people in the sight of Egypt, where they had just come from. Thank you.
Before I read the Bible, I'd like to thank you for those few words, Keith. Keith and I go back a fair way too, but not as far as some of you will. He preached at Lockington for a while. He was chairman of Presbytery, and he did all sorts of jobs which other people perhaps mightn't have wanted to do, but Keith always did what he was asked. Thanks. I'm reading from Numbers 14, chapter 2, verses 18 to 29, and it's on page 216 of the Pew Bible. The Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy. Just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word, but truly, as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice. They certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow turn and move out into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, As I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who were numbered, according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above. Amen.
Amen. And God upholds his word. Moses interceded and he pleads for mercy for his people in the sight of Egypt in order to show the Egyptians that God was able to save his people. And God's mercy prevails, for he loves his people. In verse 21 we see a prophecy there, the day is coming when all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. That day is much more closer today than it was then. Those who rejected the call into Canaan will surely perish in the wilderness. And the history records this in the scriptures, because they would not enter in They wandered in the desert 40 years till the unfaithful were dead. And it's the same for us with regard to heaven. How much longer will God wait before bringing judgment upon the ungodly in this world today? In this time, and we're living in the time of grace today. We don't have to run to the altar every few months and sacrifice an animal today. We're living in the time of grace. The great sacrifice has been laid down. Jesus Christ has laid down his life as a sacrifice for sins. All we have to do is to come and come to him. It must come to an end. The judgment on this world is promised, and the day of reckoning is sure. The question we must ask ourselves is, will we be with Caleb and enter in, or will we be lost forever? I want to leave it there, and because of time restraints, we'll move straight to our reading in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 15 to 19. 15 to 19. This is all about entering into God's rest, or going the whole distance, crossing over into Canaan. We have to follow Jesus Christ all the way. There's a great passage of scripture in Mark chapter 9 where a father comes to Jesus and he's got a son who has a mute spirit, and it's virtually killing him. He's thrown down into the fire and he's struggling to survive to this stage of his life. And he comes to Jesus and he says, "If you can do anything, can you save my son?" And then Jesus asked him that simple question. He said, "Do you believe? Do you believe?" And the man came back with, "Yes, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Help thou my unbelief." And this is the trouble with us as adults today. In our mature years today, we let our heads get filled with doubts and unbelief. You'll notice with little children fully believe everything they do, and their actions show that. When they hurt, they run to mummy and daddy. When they've got something exciting that's happened in their lives, they run to mummy and daddy to tell them the great news. And the tragedy with us today as older people is when unbelief takes over our believing. Takes over our believing. The scriptures, you see, are the very word of God. Men didn't just decide to write down these passages of scripture that we have before us. God ordained them to write it down. The Holy Spirit convicted them to write it down. And the words of the scriptures today, from Genesis through to Revelation, it gives us the history of creation. It gives us the love of God, and it gives us the state of man. And it gives us also the way of salvation through Jesus Christ, back to be reconciled to God. In the Old Testament, we read of the consequences of continued sin in the lives of the Israelites. God's word penetrates and exposes the heart of man, both then and now. So the question before us this morning again is, what does God's word do for you? In John chapter 1, it says Jesus came into the world. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. His own did not receive him. Just as the Israelites would not hearken to the word of God and go into the promised land, and they perished in the wilderness. The Israelites criticized God's instruction in the wilderness. Instead of allowing the word to judge them, correct them, and call them and direct them, they spoke at times of wanting to go back into Egypt, back into slavery. Consequently, they lost their inheritance, perishing in the desert. Hence we come to this morning's reading, Hebrews 3, beginning at verse 15. The writer of Hebrews says, "While it is said," here, and he quotes Psalm 95, "Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion," referring back to the Israelites, "for who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom he was he angry? Who was he? God. Angry 40 years. Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. Now, these people, this congregation, as they were called, of the Israelites, were led by Moses. As we've gone through Hebrews, we've seen that Jesus is much greater than Moses. Moses was a mere man. Jesus had the form of a mere man, but was also God. They had Moses, we have Christ. And what's more, we have God's final word, the Scriptures. We know Jesus is greater than Moses. But for the sake of this morning, let us learn from Moses. Why did this congregation or this generation perish in the wilderness? It was simply because of disobedience to God. And this disobedience rose out of unbelief. And we all know that man's sin will cause thousands to be cut out of heaven, not allowed to enter into heaven. But unbelief will stop millions from entering into heaven. They all know about our Lord and our Saviour. What is the most favoured swear word in the world today? Jesus Christ. The world knows. The world doesn't care. The world is looking for another way. Instead of possessing the land, the Israelites, they gave way to fear. They did not believe God's promise. And in so doing, they could not enter in. In verses 6 and 14 of that chapter, we read in verse 6, "But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence, the rejoicing of the hope, firm to the end. Verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Steadfast to the end. Is God trying to get a message through to us? So many of us begin well. The course seems hard. It's like the marathon. We're running a marathon. We all take off fresh as daisies. But halfway through the marathon, we're drawing on every part of our mind and strength to be able to carry on. The time we enter back into the arena in the last kilometre or so of a marathon, we're almost out of it. It's taken every fibre of our body to get here. But we have to finish the race. Unless we cross the line, we will not gain the prize. It's not good enough just to begin well. We have to finish. We have to hold fast to the end. Like Jesus. Can remember Jesus after the Last Supper with the disciples? They went out in the Garden of Gethsemane and Jesus went away and prayed. The disciples fell asleep. And what did Jesus pray? He prayed to his Father in heaven. He said, "Please take this cup from me, but not my will, but thine be done." The obedience of Jesus Christ. Not my will, but thine be done. And that So those words must echo into our hearts today. Not my will, but thine be done. Take heed of Moses and the people of Israel. In Hebrews 11 we'll read, "By faith he," that's Moses, "kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, drowned." So we see here that they had faith at the beginning. The Israelites couldn't wait to get out of Egypt. They had faith at the beginning, following God's instruction to come out of Egypt. They crossed through the Red Sea. This is wonderful. They've started off so well, but they failed to enter Canaan. They went in, they sent in 12 spies, and 10 of those 12 spies said, "No, we can't go in. The people are too strong." But the people are too strong. There are many today, sadly, in our churches who never get past their initial faith of conversion. They never get past the initial faith of their conversion. They are content with just being converted and have no real desire to press on to a life of holiness. To a life of holiness. To do what is necessary to enter the promised land of rest and victory, like Joshua. In Deuteronomy 6:23, we read, "Then he brought us, the Israelites, out from there, out from Egypt, that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers." And as Jeff read this morning, because of their unbelief, their hardness of heart, they would not enter in. Sadly today, many, thousands in fact, are not prepared to go all the way with God, but are just happy to be delivered from bondage, but not to be separated for the service of God, for the service of God, to be the salt, to be the light on the hill, to be a testimony, to be a witness of the work of God in their hearts. Notice the Jews. They were keen to follow God out of Egypt, but on the borders of Canaan, their hearts were hardened. And we see here a clear warning for each and every one of us today. There's no half measure with God. You are either for him and you go for him, or you are sitting on the fence and you'll be left behind. It's a bit like the story of the 10 virgins waiting for the groom to come and collect his bride. And the 10 virgins are sitting around waiting to go to the wedding feast with the bride. 5 have oil in their lamps. 5 have the Holy Spirit. 5 are aware and waiting expectantly. And 5 fall asleep. They let the oil run out of their lamps. And while they're away getting oil, the young groom comes and takes the bride and takes half the bridal party, those with oil in their lamps. What a sad story. They were there, they were with the bride, but they were left behind. How many are sitting in churches today, and when the believers are called home to glory, be left behind? How many Christians profess their conversion? They have begun their Christian walk, but then have stopped. Their hearts have become hard. It has become too difficult to be a testimony and a witness for God, to bear the opposition, and there's so much opposition today from a carnal world. It is all too difficult. They do not have that deep-seated trust, like Caleb, that they can possess the land. We can possess the land. We can enter into heaven. Jesus has gone to prepare heaven, and he is coming back to take us to be with him in heaven. He's prepared a mansion for each and every one of us. How many today fear the sacrifice and cling to the carnal life? They stay with the crowd. They stay with the crowd. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said these words. He said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way. That's Jesus Christ saying difficult is the way of the Christian and the believer today. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Ooh. To these God has sworn that they will not enter into his rest. So we see two stages of being a Christian, the carnal stage and the spiritual stage, those who remain babies and those who become full grown. In Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 9, Paul here is speaking to those in the Corinthian church, and he said, "And I, brethren," Paul says, "could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ." Paul said, "I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you still are not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another says, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believe, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labour. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building." That's to the Corinthian church. "There are those who come up out of Egypt, but remain in the wilderness because of worldliness. They remain apart from God." Remember that Jesus saying in Matthew chapter 7, they said, "Didn't we not cast out demons in your name and do many wonders in your name?" And Jesus said, "I never knew you. I never knew you. I never knew you." There are others who follow the Lord fully, entering into the life of rest and victory, and so have perfect peace with God, united through Christ to God the Father. We must ask ourselves then, which one am I? Which one am I? Is it all too hard? Or do I love him more than life? Let us press on with every fibre of our body, for he who promised is faithful. In Joshua 1, verse 9, we read, "Have I not commanded you," God said, "be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So let us learn here that the teaching and the example of Jesus Christ will profit us nothing. The example and the knowledge that we have of Jesus Christ will mean nothing to us unless our hearts are longing and ready to follow him all the way. For there is no entering into the rest of God except by the path of faith. The path of faith in his Son Jesus Christ, and in full obedience with a heart ready to forsake all to follow him who bore our cross. And I want to close this morning with a reading from 1 Corinthians 3. Going on from that reading, "For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building." Paul goes on to the Corinthian church and he says, "According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder," Paul said, "I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver and precious stones, wood, hay or straw, Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. God knows what we are doing, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are, and this is a tremendous responsibility here given to us through the scriptures today, that you are, as a believer of Jesus Christ, you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Which temple you are. Amen.